I see your promises. all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. So why should I fear the end?
Shadows fall, you never change.
is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years, you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years, you'll always be there.
Great is your faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. Great to have you here. I'm Pastor Brad. Welcome to Seaport. We thank you this morning that you're a faithful God. In these nearly 50 years I've walked with you, you've never left me, you've never forsaken me, and you've never failed me. Thank you. I think 50 years is enough time to figure out if he's faithful or not, isn't it? In 50 years, almost. Tuesday morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to pray for prosperity for everybody at Seaport Community Church. And I said, okay, whatever you want. And I understood that to mean financial prosperity as well as all the others. But this verse of scripture is printed on every offering envelope. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I'm just going to pray. What the Lord told me to pray is that he would bless you. And if you're here and you don't like that, say to your neighbor, you can have mine. Let's pray. Again, it's for his glory, the benefit of your family, and the benefit of others. Amen? That's why he blesses us and prospers us. Lord, you told me to pray for prosperity for the people of Seaport, every one of them. We've been praying that way this week, and we continue to pray, Lord, in this day, that you would bring financial prosperity. Lord, it isn't about greed and lust and all that foolish waste of time stuff. It's about the ability to take care of our families well. It's about being able to advance your kingdom. It's about being able to have that which we can bless others with and encourage and help them. And meet the needs around us. It's about that. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would release prosperity into every single person at Seaport. Every one of them. Because that's how you told me to pray. So I'm asking you to do it for your glory and for your honor, we pray. If you agree with that, do two things. The first one is say amen.
Amen.
The second thing is be seated. God bless you guys. Chris is going to come. Thanks, worship band. Amen. Come on, Chris.
Good morning, Seaport. And we are going to welcome our new visitors. And there was a couple things I forgot to tell you guys when I first came up. I'm Chris Phillips. I'm a pastoral intern here at the church. And if you didn't notice, we don't have any bulletins because we are contactlessly these days. So if you'd like to see one of those church bulletins, if you go to our internet page just at seaportcommunitychurch.org, right in the center is where our bulletin is. So if you are new to the church today, I just want to say welcome. And we are a clap happy church, so we would like to clap for you. And we'd like to say welcome. And we would love to connect with you, and it's very easy to do that. So all you have to do is just text the word welcome to the phone number up here on the screen, and a little link will come back to you. All you got to do is then click on that link, a thing will come back to you, and then just fill it out, and shabam, we're connected to you, just like that. And so there's lots of ways to connect, and we are connected on social media through Instagram, through Facebook, or you can just, you know, email our office staff. If you'd like to connect, you know, kind of the old-fashioned way, which we love to, you know, reach out and talk to you, there's information over at the information desk right out here, right? We have one of those contact cards. You can just go fill it out, hand it to our staff there, and then we can connect with you that way. Also, we have this awesome thing called the Church Center app, and that is kind of the easiest way for us to get information to you and to kind of see the events that we have listed, and that's how you can register for different things. So just, you know, download the Seaport Community Church app on, or the Church Center app, and then, you know, we can connect with that way too. We have lots of opportunities that are available coming up. So Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie would love to connect with those that are of the 18 to 29 group in this S'mores and More Young Adults thing, and that's on October 29th. So please sign up for that on the app. And then, you know, for those of you that are of the 55 and above, God has a lot more planned for you guys. And Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie also want to connect with you guys. And there is an event on November 5th. And guess what? Sign up for that in the app. Now, for those of you who are already signed up in the app for some goodies, all the apple pies and apple crisp while you're, you know, contributing to that missions thing for Vanuatu, those are going to be available after service right on the red tables out there. This Wednesday, we're going to have some adult and teen challenge folks coming in. They're going to be sharing some radical stories about how they were saved from addiction. So they're going to be here this Wednesday. So be sure to be here and not miss it. And then Pastor Brad is going to be continuing our series on how the Bible won't turn you into an atheist. Now, I'm just going to introduce a new series right on Wednesday, or I'm sorry, on Thursdays. There's a new woman's Bible study starting. And we got a little video bumper that we're going to show you.
This study boils down to one simple truth. It's not about you. When we make God about us, we miss something essential about Him and ourselves.
I did all of the things that we're called to do as Christians. It was never about who the Lord was. It was never about His glory or His goodness. It was about my glory.
God, I'm only going to love you if you give me a husband. Lord, I'm only going to love you if you give me a baby. Lord, I'm only going to love you if you give me this job. And those things were failing.
I obsessed over my image. It was exhausting, just an exhausting pursuit of perfection that was just too much.
The power of the gospel is not that it makes us feel good, but that it calls us into something bigger than ourselves. That larger vision is the thing our souls crave. And so I want to invite you into the journey of becoming free of me, not for the sake of looking like a good, perfect Christian, but because God created you for much, much more.
Just a couple of weeks away from the men's encounter, a radical experience with Jesus. Paul, come on and talk to us about your experience at the encounter. This is Paul Bissonnette. Many of us know him, small business owner here at Seaport. Paul, talk to us. What did God do for you at the encounter?
Well, I can't memorize it, so I usually write it down. It's easier for me. Okay. All right. Our God of great majesty has promised us in His word that if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. The encounter is just not a great time with friends and a weekend getaway. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to come face to face with the very things you have been conquering, trying to conquer your very self, and you never seem to get ahead. Do you say to yourself, I'm not happy, I'm not content? Do you keep facing the same challenges over and over, and you don't understand why? Do you sometimes sabotage relationships and never seem to get it right? We all have issues that we're dealing with, and we can't do it alone. The encounter will direct you step by step and help you finally break free of these invisible chains that have kept you bound in your life. I personally have been in the encounter, and I tell you the truth, the experience I had completely changed my life. Anger and rage was the biggest part of my personality. I was known for it. People recognized me by it. I was driven by the bitterness I carried in my heart. And the problem was that I refused to forgive those who hurt me. But Jesus showed me the way to forgive at the encounter. And what I thought was unforgivable, Jesus showed me how not only to love and trust again, but how to listen to what He said about me, not what others said about me. It's time to be free. Spit in the devil's face and take back your joy and your life and say, I am taking back what you stole from me. Come to the encounter. I guarantee if you come, it will change your life.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. The encounter, yeah, it'll do all of these things. It's radical. It's amazing. It's a 48-hour experience that you will, it will not leave you the same. It is led by Seaport Community Church. I personally will be there teaching many of the sessions. We have a team of guys that are here. It is a Seaport-specific event in a beautiful setting in Ashford, Connecticut. We do this maybe once a year. I hope that, guys, that you'll be part of it. It's coming up fast, and we need to know that you're coming, so please sign up through the app today, okay? So thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. You know, this church unashamedly, unabashedly believes in the practice and the benefits of tithing. Tithing just means tenth. It means committing the first 10% of our income to the Lord. And that seems radical. I know it. I know it seems radical. It's been part of my life since I was a brand new Christian at 16. I practiced it all my life. And I've seen the benefits and the blessings of it. But I know that it creates all kinds of interesting questions. And so I created a little brochure that will answer a lot of your questions about it. You can find it out there on the giving kiosks, out there at the information center, called Dollars and Cents. And it will answer a lot of your questions. Questions, I mean, like this. I mean, does it assist in Christian growth? I mean, you know, I mean, I want to tithe, but there are so many things I need. Won't God understand? Can I wait till I get out of debt to tithe? And all kinds of questions like that, that are in here, that will help you to understand what that's all about. Okay, so that's just there, just to help you and to bless you if you're here. And you know what? Again, if you're a first-time visitor here today, I kindly ask you not to give. Consider the service a gift to you, okay? Please. And but those of us that are here, we want to bless you, and part of the way of blessing you is we give to support this place. And there's lots of ways to give. You can see that. You can give the, you know, the paper way through a check and put it in the kiosk on either side of the narthex. You can do that. You can do it through the Church Center app. You can do it through text to give. Lots of different ways to give. And so there, I encourage you to participate right now. Thanks for being so faithful. We're grateful for that. Right now, what I want to do is if you're brand new, maybe I haven't met you yet, or we've only met quickly, or today's your first Sunday. I would love to spend a few minutes with you, just helping you understand what this place is all about, get to know you a little bit better, help you to know me a little bit better, you to meet the staff. So in just a moment, I'm going to release those of you for newcomers reception. You can stay here, that's fine, or all of our services, you can find them on YouTube and Facebook and podcast. But I'd love to meet with you for just a few moments. We're going to meet in just a moment out this way. You can go out that back door and around down the hallway, or right out here across the hall to our fireplace room. There'll be some light refreshments, and we'll just talk about a few things. And, you know, so that's our newcomers reception, and that's taking place in just a couple of moments, okay? So we're going to be doing that. And as soon as, in just a moment, we're also going to be releasing our middle school group. They'll be slipping out to their group this morning as well. So that'll all happen at the same time. And but in just a moment, we're going to watch another quick video. And then one of our deacons, Ed Deline, is going to come and share the word as we continue the series, Hidden, The Secret Messages of Jesus, which is a look at some of the parables that Jesus taught 35 parables during the course of his ministry. They're commonly called earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And we've been looking at those, and we're going to continue that series today. So I'm going to release a middle school group right now. Those of you that want to come and connect with me for a few minutes, and the newcomers, you're going to slip right out right now with me. Let's go to the video, and then Ed will come. All right. God bless you.
You know, Jesus liked to tell stories that had special meanings. And once he told a story about a man who had two sons. The story went like this.
Here is a man, and here is where he lives. He grows loads of apples in an orchard. And one day, he looks around the orchard and says to himself,
"These apples are really red and rosy, and they're ready to be picked."
Anyway, back at home, he's got two sons. So he goes home, finds his first son, and says,
I want you to help me pick the apples, son.
No, says the first son. I'm too busy mending my toy aeroplane.
But after a while, the first son feels really sorry for what he said and picks up a basket and he walks off to the orchard to pick the apples. The man finds his second son.
I want you to help me pick the apples too, son,
he says.
Oh, yes, says the second son. I promise, I'll come as soon as I put my boots on.
Back in the orchard, the first son is busy picking apples. And look, he's already filled one basket right to the brim.
Well done, son,
says the man.
Here's another basket. We'll have this done in no time.
They work together until all the apples have been picked. But there's no sign of the second son. So what do you think's happened? Yep, you're right. He's forgotten his promise. So after telling this little story, Jesus asks this question. Who do you think pleased his father the most? The first son or the second son?
So what do you think? Today we're going to study the biblical version of the prodigals of the two sons. But before we get into the parable, we need to understand the context of when and why Jesus replied and asked for this parable to be spoken at that time. We got to look at the timeline of the events that come up to it. And it's called the context. So we find that the parable is in Matthew 21, 23. And it says the authority of Jesus was challenged. When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and elders came up to him and they demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? And these leaders were trying to create a dilemma for Jesus. On one hand, he had claimed that his authority had come from God, and then they would no doubt try to accuse him of blasphemy. An example of Jesus' work at that time was he was going out and actually healing the sick. And we see in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus heals a paralyzed man. And he climbed into a boat and he went across the lake to his own town. And some people brought him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think that he's God? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what was in their hearts. So he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up and went home, and fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. And as they praised God for giving humans such authority. On the other hand, if Jesus had said that he had gotten his authority from men, he would not only deny that he was a true prophet, but that he would also bring the charge that he had no authority at all. For Pharisees were considered the religious authorities at the time. They were the ones that set up all the rules in the temples, and they had no permission for him to go around and do what he was doing. But they resisted his authority, and they were trying to undermine it. So as we come to see, Jesus begins to turn the tables on the Pharisees at this point in time. We see in Matthew 21, verses 24 to 26, that I tell you by what authority I do these things. If you answer one question, Jesus replied, did John the Baptist's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? And they talked it over amongst themselves. And if we say it was from heaven, he will ask us, why didn't he believe? But if we say it's merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believed that John was a prophet. So you see how Jesus put them in some sort of a trap in which they had tried to put him. Remember that John the Baptist had proclaimed a witness to Jesus that he was the Messiah. So if they believed that John the Baptist was a prophet from God, then they would have to believe that Jesus is too. So since they didn't believe John, they really wanted to say that he wasn't a true prophet. But it just put them in a different bind because the people believed that he was a true prophet. And Jesus was challenging them to take a clear stand with the people on this matter, which they didn't want to do. And this leads to what their answer was. And we see in Matthew 27, so they finally replied, we don't know. And here's what I love. Jesus comes back and he responds and says, and I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. It's pretty cool. Jesus had said that he would tell them by what authority he did the things that he did, but only if they answered his question about John the Baptist. Since they didn't want to give him a straight answer to his question, he followed through on what he had said and gave them no answer to their question. Yet, he didn't simply drop the matter. Instead, he tells a short parable about the two sons and continues to question them in order to highlight the real issue, mainly their unbelief. So that's where we step into this parable. We see in Matthew 21, 28 to 31, this is basically the parable from the Bible. It says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and he went. And then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two sons did the father want? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. This parable teaches and reminds us of what true obedience is and what it means to the will of God. A father had two sons. He asked them both to go out, and he works in a vineyard, and one son respectively says, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He just yes, sirs his dad to death, but he doesn't do anything about it. The other son says, sorry, dad, I don't plan on going out to the work in the vineyard. But later, he regretted what he had said to his father, and he goes and works in the vineyard anyway. So who talks the talk? Who said they're all the right things? Who looked right? Who actually got the job done? Who ultimately pleased his father? You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day could be compared to the initially seemingly obedient son. On paper, they looked perfect. They appeared to be obedient to God, do God's will, and always put God first. In fact, this is what they taught others to go do. So they talked the talk, but in reality, they were disobedient to God. Their hearts were far away from God. Their motivations were all wrong, and they rejected the message of God. And no, they did not live lives that were obedient or pleasing to God. That was the reality at that time. The tax collectors and the prostitutes of Jesus' day could be compared to the disobedient son. The tax collectors in those days ripped everybody off, stole money, cheated, and were being very dishonest, almost like today a little bit. But tax collectors and prostitutes committed open sins against God and against others. But many of them, after hearing the message that God has sent, they repented and they turned back to God and they started living lives that were obedient and pleasing to the Lord. So the obedient son was not that much better Then the hold on a second here. What the obedient son did was much better than what the disobedient son did. But is that really the ideal situation? The ideal situation would have been a son that said, when you hear God tell you to do something, and you say, yes, Lord, and you're going to do it with a joyful heart, and you go out right away and you go do it. That's the ideal situation. The parable of the two sons finally makes you think, how many times have we gone to church on a Sunday and we've listened to and sang all of these wonderful worship songs and we go through and we enjoy our family together in church, but what are we doing on Monday through Saturday? How do we live our life during the week when we're not here in church? Many of us will hear God speak to us, and you'll go on with your life and you get busy at work and you know what God's asking you to go do. You need to go do it, but you just don't have the time, so you procrastinate and you put it off. And then later on, oh, I better go do what God's asking me to go do. And before you know it, time's flying by and you never get a chance to go do it. But you know that God wants you to go do it. Now, you got other people that might be new to the Lord, and they don't always hear God speak just to them, and really are not functioning into that perspective just yet, but you do read the Word. You know what the Word says to do. And one of the things is to be able to love your neighbor. That's just the basics of Christianity, that we all need to love our neighbor as ourselves. So are you living the principles that God's already put in the Word? And that's the other thing that we got to look at to make sure that we do what God tells us to go do. Are we being kind and considerate to others? Are we showing the love of money and the love of the world to control us and determine what we do and who we are? Do we make empty promises to God and to others? Are we putting God first in all we do? Are we being obedient in our Heavenly Father as we go through the journey of life? Are we really acting like we know our God is indeed our God? Do we go through our life and really seriously represent and know that God, when we say our God, are we really showing people that we know that our God is our God? You know, last week, Chris Phillips spoke here, and he was telling about a young friend of his that he had that was a Christian that talked to him, and he began to open his eyes a little bit about the things of the Lord, and Chris Phillips is holding up a paper clip. And as he was telling us that story, what did he do with that paper clip? He dropped it, right? You all saw him drop it. So you may think that your personal life is a good witness to other people that you encounter during your day. You think, oh, I'm living a pretty good life, I believe. But the real question, do you have enough boldness to speak to that person when God tells you to do so? How many times you might be somewhere and God's telling you to go speak to that person? You might be that person that people have really been praying to see that person come to know Jesus Christ. And here you're standing at that moment. And you know that you need to say something, but you don't have the boldness to speak. And you just smile and you walk away. And you just drop the paper clip on the floor. But you know, as long as people keep praying, God's going to go move somebody else in place. But that was your opportunity at that one point in time. You know, God's plan got destroyed in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took and ate that apple from the tree of life when they were told not to. All of what God had planned for this earth, No death, no sickness, was destroyed. It was a train wreck right there. So what God did is that he loved his creation so much that he took his arm and he reached into our world and he sent his son as a baby to be born in a manger. And he had a plan to send Jesus to this earth. And he grew up as a young boy. He grew up as a young teenager. He grew up as a young man. He went through all the trials that we experience, all of the temptations from Satan that come into our life. He experienced all of that. And he never sinned. He even went out to the desert and fasted in the desert. And Satan came at him hard. And yet Jesus never was tempted and he never sinned. He was that pure lamb that was crucified on the cross by the same Pharisees that we were talking about here. And he died on that cross. And then he was buried in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose up. And then he ascended to heaven. And you know what he's doing today? For over 2,000 years, he's been there, and he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. He's interceding for each and every one of us. And I'm telling you, even when he was on the earth, he had wanted to wash the feet of his disciples. And even Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'll do it myself. But he's wanting to wash your feet today. He's the greatest servant that has ever been. He wants to serve us. He wants to serve us all the time. And I'm telling you, he died on the cross for us. He is such a great, awesome God that we can only... How can you not accept him as a Savior in your life? How can you not want to be able to walk and talk about him to the people around you for what he's done for you? So let's just open our mouths right now a little bit. I was praying last night, and I really feel that this, at this point, there's depression, there's fatigue, there's a lot of different things we experience here. And what we need to do is sometimes when we have these prayer nights, we just take the unmute and we just praise God. So just open your mouth. I really believe in that, Holmes. Open your mouth and just thank God right now as of... We are all going to just thank God for what he's done, for his salvation plan and what he's done. Lord, we just praise your name. We just give you glory. Just raise it up. We lift you up, Lord. Fill up your homes with the praise of the Lord. Just don't sit there. Just tell him that you love him very much and that you want all of Satan to be out of your home, out of our lives. We need to be focused on Jesus Christ and what we do. We need help from Lord to be able to walk and do what you ask us to go do. So we thank you right now, Lord. We just glorify what you have done, Lord. And we ask for more in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we have to walk the talk. If you really know a person's values or his belief system, it's important to observe how they behave in terms of their attitude and their lifestyle rather than what they say. For example, do they practice what they preach? Do they walk the talk? Do the issues that they speak about align with what they do? Does it match with what they post on social media? The kingdom of God is just not about words and rhetoric. It's about the action, the attitude, the behavior, the lifestyle, and the power that we have. You know, in one Christian's life, it's more important just to talk about what you believe in, but it's important to demonstrate that your beliefs through your attitude and throughout your daily lifestyle. In James chapter 2, 26, we see where faith without corresponding action is dead. So you need action, otherwise your faith is dead. You cannot claim to believe in the things of God, but yet your attitude, your behavior, and your actions do not demonstrate the kingdom of God nor the teachings of God. When you become a Christian, become a member of the kingdom of God, and as a member of God's kingdom, your lifestyle must resemble. Honor and glorify the values and the teachings of God. You know, in the Navy, walking the talk is a high-value attribute which is taught and drilled into each service member and expectations for high execution. I know, because I had an admiral and a commander of the USS Baton Rouge work with me out at Los Alamos, and that's what they did with our building trades, is to work that in so we could have error reduction and work increase our safety on the job. So I know the Navy, they eat and sleep that, to see quality, safety, error reduction. Admiral Rickover is the grandfather of all of that. So the question here, how are we doing with that in our daily life? In our marriages, are we cooperating together as a couple to make sure that we are both increasing and drawing closer to the Lord together, or are we just leaving one of the spouses on the side and the other one are really concerned about the two coming up and just drawing closer to the Lord in your marriage? What about how many of us remember the vows that we made on our marriage time? It's good maybe to go back and reread them. Are you loving your wife, for example? If you're a guy, loving your wife like Christ loves his bride, are you really loving her instead of trying to play mind games with her? Are you really showing true love in your life? How about in a workplace? Are people around you know with the actions that you have at work that you're a Christian? Are you in a business where sometimes you could cheat a little bit here and there, or maybe even stretch a little bit on your time card? Every little thing, people watch what you do. And if you say that you go to church and you're a true Christian and you have a witness, people look at that. What are you doing with your finances? Are you trusting God and asking God to level your ground? We all have a time, and I'm telling you, we're going to come into another time. Maybe this winter you're going to see supplies coming down, people needing jobs and different things, and we go through the stuff that we've done for the last year and a half, but God's the provider. He's the one that's going to, and I honestly believe that the people that are close to the Lord, he's going to show the rest of the world out there that he does care for his children. So what are you doing on your social media site? Are you posting certain things that maybe could be, all right, but the young kids might look at it and say, man, if that deacon over there is doing that, is really, well, why should I become a Christian? You got to be careful in what you post. It's always there. You know, Jesus records everything we do. You talk about what Amazon might be recording in your house off your TV and all that, but look at what Jesus Christ knows. He knows every second of what you're doing in private even. But there's one way out, and that's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus comes in. You just have to say, I'm sorry, and ask for God's forgiveness, and all of that's wiped out. You can never, ever find it again in his eyes, and that's what counts. So the relationships that you have with your coworkers, and the peer pressure that you establish in schools, it doesn't, just because you're young and you have peer pressure, that'll continue even when you get older. So our use of our words through the day, are you being uplifting and not using words that we used to say before that we became to go, come to Christ, and we're going to continue to use the same words? So, in conclusion, we know that God is the God of the second chance. He really is. He is the God of failures. He's the God of traitors. He's the God of tax gatherers and prostitutes. He is the God of those who repent. There's not any sin out there that the blood will not cover. Those who realize they have no hope outside of the mercy of God, Yet God turns away those who play the religious games on their own terms and by their own rules without any directives from God. May we turn to God while it's still time. May we dismiss the lie that our own efforts can reach the holiness of God. There's nothing that we can do to reach the holiness of God. So I'm just going to ask right now, both here in this room and online, you know, there's one thing, the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. And there's people that have been probably getting pulled on a little bit, but today is the day for your salvation. If you're sitting here or you're online and you're listening to this message, you got to know that God loves you very much. And I just want to encourage you, if there's anybody here that has come to a point, step out. God loves you so much, he died for you. And I'm telling you, he wants to see you and restore your life, level your ground, restore your whole family. So just if you're in here and you want to give your heart to the Lord, just raise your hand. If not, online, the same thing. And go ahead and we can text the number to the screen for salvation, for new life, and you can take that number right there. I was going to have the worship team and the altar team to come up. As they're coming up, I want to be able to talk about walking the talk in a culture that we live in today. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the gift that God's given us to help us to reach and bring people to Christ. Our lives are living examples of Christ's love and should be seen as that by the people that we encounter around us. I encourage you to ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pursue it with a passion today. When you ask of God, he will answer you. He will. But you need to ask him and keep pursuing it with a passion. You see that the power of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the end times is so necessary. It's not an option. So I'm going to just ask, if you want to come up for prayer, come on up to prayer. We'll have the altar team here. Just come if you've asked the Lord to come into your life. Or if you want to recommit your life, I would strongly suggest that you get prayer and ask the Lord to give you the strength to recommit your life to him so you could truly walk the talk and be able to truly have God help you to speak to others about him and to be able to live your life a true witness for the Lord. I just want to take time to pray before the worship team comes. Yeah, come on up and just ask for prayer. Go ahead. So, dear Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us again and again. You continue to teach us in this place here how to live a life that's pleasing to you. We pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us. Help us to honor you not only with our words, but also in our deeds. We pray that we will obey you, whether it's in convenient or not. We pray that we will serve you, honor you, glorify you, and show you respect by doing what we know and what pleases you. We pray that our lives will reflect who you are, and that we pray that our lives will glorify you and continually attract and lead others to you. We pray that we will be children that you can count on. Help us to be wise and not foolish, and be aware that we're ineffective Christians when we talk the talk, but we do not walk the talk. I just help us to remember that in obeying you, that we are really doing ourselves a favor, because you will bless those who obey you. I just thank you, Lord, for being so patient with us, for forgiving us, for giving us chance after chance after chance. We pray, Lord, that we will never take your grace for granted. We pray that our lives will be a living testimony of who you are. And I just pray right now for the people that are in this room and online here at Seaport. Lord, I just pray that you would capture our hearts, Lord, and that you would give us a burden for the lost in this area, Lord. We are praying for New London County, Lord. I am praying, Lord, that we would be able to see more and more people in this area to come to know you, Lord. I just pray with the hardness and the rocky soil that we have here in the Northeast, Lord, I pray that you would soften people's hearts, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that when we speak to them, Lord, that they would respond and know that the Holy Spirit is pulling them to a closer relationship with you and that they need you, Lord. I just pray that they would know that we are like a bucket of really cold water and that they need to drink, Lord, and they're going to drink of you. I just pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that your power, and I pray that your fire would just come on this place tonight. I pray that your fire would transform our thinking. I pray that your fire would just renew us. I pray that your fire would come in a way that we would just totally would be blown away, Lord, in our lives. I pray for a level ground and a relationship with you, Lord, that would have true passion and true hunger for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, I'm in here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh Lord, how I need grace is found is where I'm
So I just thank you, Lord, and just bless everybody right now. We just have a great day and have a great week. And make sure that you take time not to drop that pin on the floor this week. When God speaks to you, go ahead and open up your mouth and God will help you. And God bless everyone and have a great day. Thank you.
Abandon my cold religion, my heart on fire.